Beloved congregation of the Lord, the Westminster Shorter Catechism, the first question and answer, go this way: what is the chief end of man? And the answer is, the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. But first is that glorify God. So, believers, having attended the Lord's Supper, are reminded that our life is to be a life that glorifies God. And that includes our prayer life. It includes praying the doxology of the Lord's Prayer, which we will consider this afternoon. I'm going to do that from Psalm 135, verses 3 to 6, and Lord's Day 52, question and answer 128. Psalm 135, this is God's word. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto His name, for it is pleasant. For the Lord has chosen Jacob unto Himself, and Israel for His peculiar treasure. For I know that the Lord is great, that our Lord is above all gods. Whatever the Lord pleased, that did He in heaven, and on earth, in the seas, and all deep places. Question and answer 128. How do you conclude your prayer? The answer is, for thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. That is, all these we ask of thee, because thou, being our King and Almighty, are willing and able to give us all good. And all this we pray for, that thereby not we, but thy holy name, may be glorified forever. From the Westminster Shorter Catechism, question and answer 107. What does the conclusion of the Lord's Prayer teach us? The conclusion of the Lord's Prayer, which is, for thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever, teaches us to take our encouragement in prayer from God only, and in our prayers to praise Him, ascribing kingdom, power, and glory to Him. Our theme then is the doxology of the Lord's Prayer. How does it express our adoration for this God, first of all? And secondly, how is it a motivation for all of our prayers? And thirdly, how is it a ground for children's prayers? First then, how is this doxology an expression of our adoration? I know the word doxology doesn't appear here, but it is a good word, and it's fitting for this sentence of the Lord's Prayer. It means speaking a word of glory. It comes from the Greek word doxa, which contains in it glory and praise for a royal majesty. So the doxology is really an expression of praise and adoration to God, our Father in heaven. That God who is God alone. And we find several of these doxologies in the Scriptures. We sing them every Lord's Day. Right now we're singing number 412 based on Psalm 150. Praise ye the Lord, His saints, who throng His courts below, we sing. And in the afternoon's 374, which is actually based on Psalm 135, which is part of our text this afternoon. Oh, praise ye the name of Jehovah, sing praise to His glorious name. And David, when he was inspired to write these, used words given to him by the Holy Spirit. It's no surprise then that the Lord Jesus, the Son of David, who in everything, in His whole life, sought to glorify His Father in heaven, teaches us to pray in similar language. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. You find that back in the New Testament too. 1 Timothy 1:17, now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. You see, beloved, when we approach God in prayer, we are to be conscious of His awesome glory. We read of the angels who stand before Him and who cover their faces before His holiness. And our prayer especially here, is an expression of adoration to God in our Lord Jesus Christ. An expression of thankfulness that glorifies and praises the object of our thanksgiving. No matter whether you're praying the first three petitions of the Lord's Prayer, the hallowing of God's name, the coming of His kingdom, or the doing of His will, or if you're praying for your own needs, our daily bread, the forgiveness of our sins, and to be kept from evil, all of that is to be to the glory of God. We lift up our prayers conscious of His glory. The difference between the six petitions and the doxology is that the doxology is not asking God for anything. But it's expressing our adoration and our gratitude to Him for being able to stand in the presence of a holy God. What a great place of blessedness the Lord has given to His people. To be able to approach Him in Christ Jesus and to speak to Him face to face. To be able to be in the presence of Him to whom belong the whole universe. Him who is not only the King of all the earth and Almighty, but who is our faithful Father for Jesus' sake. Him who is willing and able to give us all good. That's the idea of the doxology in a believer's prayers. In our prayers, we are in the presence of God, consciously. And parents, when we're teaching our children to pray, let's remind them of that. We are now, in a special way, in the very presence of God. We stand, as it were, in His sanctuary. We are busy in covenant fellowship with Him. And when you stand in the presence of God spiritually, with the mind of faith, you can't help but praise Him. And you see then how this doxology exposes how dreadfully weak our prayers often are. We're not always conscious of it, are we? That we are in the presence of Almighty God in all His majesty. That we are to be giving glory to Him. So we see that even for prayer, we must take refuge to the Lord Jesus Christ. To intercede for us. Because when we approach God in prayer, our prayer can never be just thoughtless expressions. But we come now this afternoon before God with this doxology. And it can never be the result of approaching Him thoughtlessly or flippantly or like a buddy we talk to across the backyard fence. Our prayer cannot have been just mere repetition of words. If we truly speak to Him with this confession of adoration this afternoon, when we pray in the conscience of being in the presence of Almighty God, we express our gratitude in the form of a doxology because we have just approached God in His beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We've been praying to Him standing in a sanctuary, seeing Him as the God of our salvation. That's what prayer is. Coming into the very presence of God on the throne of grace in Christ Jesus. And that means also that apart from life in Christ, there is no true prayer. In prayer, we appear in God's presence. The presence of His majestic holiness. The presence of His perfect purity. The presence of His absolute majesty. And no one can appear in that presence and stand unless it is in Christ Jesus, His Son. That means that true prayer is the fruit of faith, the fruit of grace, and nothing less. Romans 14 verse 23 spells it out very clearly for us. Whatever is not of faith is sin. And that word whatever includes our prayers. So we stand before God, the God of our salvation, confessing with adoration to Him. We prayed all these things, Father. We have sought to glorify Thy name, for Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. We express that adoration in three ways. First, we tell the Lord, Thine is the kingdom. And that kingdom is the whole domain over which our God rules. And according to Scripture, that is the entire universe. And the God to whom we pray, the only true God, and dear believers, our only Heavenly Father, is active in His rule over that kingdom. And at the same time, He always rules that kingdom with a view to those who are in Christ Jesus. That's part of our text in Psalm 135, verse 3 and 4. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto His name, for it is pleasant. For the Lord has chosen Jacob unto Himself and Israel for His special treasure. So the people of God are to God a special treasure. And He rules for the sake of His glory and the sake of His people. Over His kingdom in Christ, who are the people chosen out of this world, according to John 15, verse 19, He rules. He rules in our hearts, revealing His goodness and His wisdom and His holiness and His grace. You remember in the second petition, we prayed, Thy kingdom come. We prayed it because that kingdom is revealed and to be enlarged and to be perfected, so that we may submit ourselves more and more to God. But in this confession of adoration, which is our doxology this afternoon, we acknowledge that the kingdom is God's, and that He has given us as His people a blessed place in His fellowship. And because the kingdom is His, we may pray with confidence, knowing that all things, according to Romans 8 verse 28, are working together for our spiritual good, for our eternal welfare, and that nothing can separate us from the love of this God and Father in Christ Jesus, according to Romans 8, 38 and 39. So we continue in this doxology, expressing our adoration. Thine is the kingdom, Thine is the power. The sovereign ruler is the God who is able to accomplish His own good pleasure. That's also in Psalm 135, verse 5 and 6. I know that the Lord is great, that our Lord is above all gods. Whatever the Lord pleased, that's what He did in heaven and in earth, in the seas and all deep places. This is another way of saying, Thine is the power. And that power is His eternally. He who is our King and Almighty God is not only willing, but also able to give us what we ask for in accordance with His will. He is able to subdue and conquer all the enemies of His kingdom. He's able to turn to our advantage everything, nothing excluded, that happens in our lives. He's able to lead us even to heaven itself. Thine is the power. And then we say, and Thine is the glory. We stand before Him in Christ Jesus. We see Him as the one who possesses excellencies and perfections that no mind can conceive, that no tongue can describe. We know Him only by His own special revelation through the Word of God. And we know Him by the most magnificent of all His works revealed in Scripture as the wonderful works of God in Christ. And that is moving us to holy astonishment and expressing our adoration to this God. He's the one who dwells in the light which no man can approach unto, Paul writes in 1 Timothy 6 and 16. And yet, he has taken sinful people into covenant fellowship with himself. And so this doxology is proclaimed by the church of all ages in song and in prayer now here on this earth, and it shall be sung also to all eternity in heaven. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Is that our conscious perception of Him as we approach His throne in prayer? Notice the little words. The three-letter words are always so important in Scripture, aren't they? This morning we had two of them. But God. Here we have the little word, the. We don't say, thine is a kingdom, or thou hast great power, or thou hast awesome glory. No, we confess thine is the kingdom. The only one. The only kingdom. Without exception. All the rule in heaven and on earth, without any exceptions, is God's. Thine is the power. There is no power but of Him. There is no strength but what is given of God. Thine is the glory, exclusively, only one glory, and that's the glory of God. So we place emphasis on those small words, right? Thine is the kingdom. Thine is the glory. Thine is the power forever. That's what we say to Almighty God at the conclusion of the Lord's Prayer. That's how this doxology is an expression of our adoration to God. That brings up a second question. How is this doxology a motive for all prayer? And again, I want to draw your attention to a little word. The little word right at the beginning of the doxology, and that's a little three-letter word, for. For. Or we say, because. That's a firm ground for all we pray. We pray everything we pray because, for, thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. But children, you think about that with me for a minute. When you learn to read, you learn to read the little words first. Lots of little three-letter words. And here's one that's ever so important. A beautiful little word. That the Lord Jesus teaches us to pray. For thine is the kingdom. There's such significance found in that one little inspired word. That the motivation for all of our prayers can only be in God and not in us. The firm ground for our prayers that we offer to heaven, to the God on the throne of grace, is found in that same God. Entirely in God. Because true prayer is emphatically God-centered. Not self-centered. You notice in the Lord's Prayer, even those petitions where we were praying for our own needs. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation. Those petitions are anchored in the petitions which come before them, where we focus on God, His kingdom, His name, His will. And the doxology emphasizes that very truth. In prayer, we approach God with our petitions because His is the kingdom, and His is the power, and His is the glory forever. If the kingdom and the power and the glory were not God's forever, then we could not pray. There would be no prayer, would there? If He was not the king, if He didn't have the power, If he had no glory, we couldn't even pray. But now by God's amazing grace, we may consciously address God with boldness, with his knowledge welling from our hearts. We pray as we do, Lord, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And we look away from ourselves and we look to this God and expect all things from him and him alone. And the doxology at the end of our prayers also means that the end or the goal or the purpose of our prayers, the end goal, the purpose of all that we pray for is the glory of God. So that the doxology does not only serve as a motive for our prayer, but it also explains why Jesus taught us to pray as he did. And that makes the doxology a solemn confession. At the end of our prayers, we must answer the question, did I pray like this? Did I pray this way? We pray for thy cause, O Father God, not merely for what we see as what we need, but for thy name, for thy glory. The focus of all our petitions, of all of our praying, is not our own outward and earthly advantage, but it is the manifestation of God's kingdom and power and glory. And the Lord's Prayer begins and ends with the glory of God. And that tells us again that the purpose of our souls is to seek and to promote God's glory. That's the most important part of thankfulness in a Christian's life, is prayer. And then specifically, in prayer, God's glory. Whatever we desire ought to be desired by us only as the means of obtaining that end, that God may be glorified. All this we pray for, that thereby not we, but thy holy name may be glorified forever. What an awesome, awesome blessing that we can and may approach our Heavenly Father in Christ Jesus. And we may ask all things in his name for his sake. Because it will always be for Christ's sake alone that God hears our prayers in heaven. For Christ's sake alone, God will give us what we ask him according to his will. Always alone for Christ's sake. So the Lord Jesus, as it were, takes our poor prayers to Father. And he says, Father, do it for my sake. Do it for my sake. See, that's also included in the doxology, because only in Christ can we see God in this way. Only through Christ Jesus the Lord do we confess our adoration for God as the God of our salvation. Otherwise, there is no thankfulness in our hearts apart from the grace of God in Christ Jesus. We can't ask God for anything. Apart from our membership in the family of God, adopted for Jesus' sake, we can't seek God's face. But now, dear children of God, in Christ Jesus, as members of his body, of his bride, we seek the glory of God's holy name. It's all we can do. We can do no otherwise. Not when we see what he has given us in the place wherein we stand, in the glorious liberty in Jesus Christ, indwelt by his Holy Spirit, able day after day to come into the very presence of our God and Father. That's why we pray. With this doxology in our hearts, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Oh, Father in heaven, we prayed this way. We prayed like we did and for the things we did. Because of that, that's the motive of our prayer. We stand before thee only in Christ, partakers of his blessed Holy Spirit. And therefore, as members of the family God's family whom He loves. And that family of God includes also little children. And when parents teach their children to pray, they begin using simple words. The simple words of the Lord's Prayer. Simple words like, "Our Father, who art in heaven." Well, I want to answer one question yet about how the Lord's Prayer, the doxology, the ground for children's prayers, but we'll do that after we sing number 49. "The ends of all the earth shall hear and turn unto the Lord in fear." So how is the Lord's Prayer's doxology a ground for children's prayers? Last Lord's Day, you remember, we witnessed the administration of the sacrament of baptism. A covenant child received the sign of God's covenant. When that little boy gets a little bit older, begins to speak and begins to think, his parents will teach him to pray. But on what ground may he expect anything from God? The only ground there is the same ground as for baptism, the covenant faithfulness of God, shown forth in the glorious covenant of grace, sealed with the precious blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. The waters of baptism direct our eyes always to the finished work and the precious blood of Jesus Christ the Lord. And when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ in the way of repentance and faith, then God is our Father for Jesus' sake. Because only those who are adopted will actually come to Christ. And we may always come to the Father through the Son, who is now our older brother. Through Him we have direct access to come boldly, to come confidently to His throne of grace. And note that it is called the throne of grace still, now. It's what it is today. Parents, teach your children that God is today on His throne of grace. He invites and encourages even little children to come to Him, to pray to Him. And they can pray it with their little voices. "For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." They belong to Father in heaven. And at the same time, they also belong to Jesus. It's remarkable. In the Word of God, Jesus taught His disciples to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven." And in John 10, verse 30, He says, "I and My Father are one." So when we pray to Father in heaven, we're praying to Jesus too. "We are one," He says. "No man comes unto the Father but by Me." And Jesus knows that very well. That none of us can come to this Father, not even praying "Our Father who art in heaven," unless it is by or through the Lord Jesus. John 14, verse 6. "Thine is the kingdom, Father," Jesus said. And then in John 18, three times He answers Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world." My kingdom. So Father's kingdom is the kingdom of Jesus too. He says, "Thine is the power, Father." And yet in Matthew 28, verse 18, He says, "All power is given unto Me, in heaven and in earth." So that power of God the Father is the power of God the Son. And since it is a Holy Trinity, it's also the power of the dear Holy Spirit. "Thine is the glory, Father," He says. And James writes in James 2 verse 1, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. That's our connection to Father, always. Can't be connected with Father without being connected through Christ Jesus the Lord. And children, you are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And your parents will teach you to pray to God the Father through God the Son by the Holy Spirit. They will teach you to pray for the blessed work of the Holy Spirit in your young little hearts. They will teach you to pray that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, will wash away all of your sins through His precious blood. They will teach you to pray that this God the Father will see you, please, as His child through the Lord Jesus Christ. They will teach you to pray that your whole life may be like a doxology. Your whole life may be lived to the praise, the glory of God. They will teach you to pray that in all your thoughts and all your words and in all your deeds, you would indeed give glory to the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The prayers of little children. You know something? Grown-ups and adults, the prayers of little children are also the prayers of grown-ups. Jesus taught us that unless we become like little children, we shall not see the kingdom of God. You can say it another way. Unless you become as little children, you are not saved. Unless you have become as a little child before God, you're not a child of God. Unless we become like little children, so unbelievers among us, pray that our gracious Lord will humble you so that you will indeed become as a little child, dependent, trusting your dad, like a little child trusts his dad. That way you will depend on and trust God the Father in heaven. Oh, come. Come to God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. He will do for you what you cannot do for yourself. And what is that? But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for He shall receive me. Amen. Let's pray. O Lord our God, again we are reminded of the glory of God in the doxology of the Lord's Prayer, for Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Lord, we pray that what we have heard this morning and this afternoon may stay with us. That the Spirit will bring to our minds throughout this coming week the wonderful truth that we have heard of God redeeming the souls of His people and receiving them, not only here and now at the Lord's table, but also into His presence in heaven, but also now already into His presence in prayer, where we pray the doxology. Lord God, we acknowledge that in many ways we come so far short of glorifying God and enjoying You. Lord, intervene in our lives, also the lives of Thy people. Rekindle that flame, Lord. Humble us once again. Keep us and make us as little children, dependent, trusting, expecting, from Father through Jesus. Bless the children of the congregation, O Lord, we pray, that their parents are teaching them to pray. To pray to this God for mercy, for grace, for all that we need in this life and for the life to come. Be with us this week as we return to our work or maybe go on vacation. Lord, spare us wherever we are, whatever we are doing. Grant us to remember that we are living our lives to the glory of God. Bring us safely back again next Lord's Day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.